All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, Cole, you'll have to speak up because we're on an aircraft carrier.
Ooh, fun. Is it? I mean, so you blackbagged me and knocked me out. And I'm still... You did? Yeah, no. But then you handcuffed me. I'm still a little hazy. Are we
just mittens tied together, man?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I multitasked.
I gotcha. So I can't tell if we are at sea or if this is like one of those decommissioned aircraft carriers for tours. What's the sitch, bro?
We're super at sea.
Mm.
Here is the randomization I've come up with.
Okay.
Over here we have a fighter jet. World War II era fighter jet, so it has a propeller.
Okay.
And the propeller is spinning. And then over here we have a tennis ball cannon. And I've written games on it.
Okay.
And I want you to shoot tennis balls through the propeller, and whatever one first gets through the propeller without getting shredded is the game we'll do.
Can I pretend to be an American gladiator?
What do you think?
Okay, no, I'll stop.
Give me one of the gloves.
Damn it. Okay, I'll give you the left glove because I'm right
hand. Keep your shit wiping glove hand dirty.
Okay.
Keep your sinister hand dirty.
All right. So I'll just saddle up on this bad boy and joylessly and non-gladiatorially fire some cannon, some tennis balls out of the cannon. Here we go. Stop tempting me. Gary, stop tempting me. Gary, I am Pyro!
Oh, well, now Pyro's mad. He's coming to get you.
Damn it.
He's going to crumble you up and put you into one of those chutes.
But the good news is, before Pyro comes and breaks my spine...
Pyro not going to break my spine. Gonna keep me down, Pyro.
One of the tennis balls went through.
Okay, let me go check it out. Go signal to Flyboy to cut the engine.
Yeah,
cut the engine, Flyboy.
Flyboys crack me up.
Okay, I found the tennis ball.
Okay,
it looks like it says Top Gun Fire at Will.
Oh, Top Gun for NES.
Have we done that already, though?
No, it's been on. It has been a potential candidate for several polls, but you vetoed it several times.
Oh, got you. Yeah, because it's really boring to talk about.
Yeah,
it's hard to land.
Yeah,
in it, that is the game.
Yeah, this is different. This is FMV, baby. This is Edit Cole, the version of Cole who is only alive when he is editing. All other Coles are dead now. I'm cutting in real quick to let you know occasionally Gary's voice gets a little weird. There was some clicking and stuff. I've worked my best to remove it, and we are working our best to remove this problem from our recording process. Just letting you know in case that is a thing. I think it turned out okay, but you will notice it. Okay, Edit Cole out.
It's FMV, baby. I'm FMV, baby.
Yeah. I'm that big baby everybody hates.
Mm-hmm. I'm big boy bus driver.
Mm.
This is Gary Butterfield.
Caught me off guard with big boy bus driver.
This is Gary Butterfield.
This is Cole Ross.
And welcome to Abject Suffering. Abject.
Is that Abject Suffering as a Pokemon?
That's Abject Suffering as the Affleck duck.
Oh, okay. Okay.
The Ben Affleck duck.
Mm. Yeah. Oh. Yeah, and we are here talking about the PlayStation 1 and PC game Top Gun Fire at Will.
Yes, poor Will.
Mm.
This
poor
is
Will, harried by Harrier jets.
Yep, that's why they call him that.
Yep,
because they get Will. because it's this show, we'll leave this in.
Okay.
Pocket.
What's he doing,
dude?
What's he?
I have a bag full of, like, I was picking up my house. I have a bag full of garbage.
Okay.
Like a grocery bag. Just kind of like as I was picking up. And he's, you know, just like all purpose agitating it, like investigating it, checking it out. And he's done it a lot. Like, I don't know if he thinks there's going to be something new on. You know, when he checks it in the future, like, oh, maybe Gary put in like, and he doesn't want food. I don't know what he wants me, like what kind of like interesting book or whatever I could put in there for him.
Yeah.
But he wants something like a new Game Boy. I don't know, but he's real agitated this morning and I don't care for it. And I am not within arm's reach of my squirt gun. So yeah, I just need to just yell every once in a while. So I hope that it's good for you and for other listeners who maybe, you know, might be listening to a relaxing podcast during quarantine times, just for me in the middle of sentences to go, Pocket, stop it. It's weird because he listens to me.
Okay.
The other cats I've had don't do it when I yell at him, but then he'll go back.
Oh yeah, no.
Like, I'm like, get down. He like gets down. He lays down on the floor. He's like, I'm laying.
He hears you. He just doesn't care.
He pretends to care though. He wants me to look back at the computer so he can like jump me again.
Yeah. You think he makes faces at you when you look away?
Yeah.
Makes a little kitty jerk off motion.
Oh, big kitty jerk off motion. So.
Regardless of how well Pocket is behaving, Gary, we need to talk about Top Gun: Fire at Will. I had no idea this existed.
Top Gun. No, who did? Yeah, nobody.
Tell you who did. Was the patron who demanded this of us. Who I should have had that tab open before, but time makes fools of us all. Yeah, no. See, all the times I ever gave you shit, gave you shit for not having the Twitter thing up. This is Paul. This is Paul B, who says, as we all eagerly await the next movie in the hit Top Gun saga, I thought I would make the case for abject suffering to take a trip to the danger zone.
This is indeed the danger zone.
Yeah. A zone of the utmost danger, as the Fuppets would say, probably.
I think that this reminds me of the Miami Takedown Bad Boy episode where like, I would think that I would have a lot to say about Top Gun, but I really don't.
It's a thing that a lot of people seem to care and have an opinion about, but that opinion always basically boils down to that volleyball scene is real gay is kind of the most analysis that I see of Top Gun as a pop culture fixture.
Yeah. And it is.
Yeah.
Like, it is very funny that they just like, let's take a break to do some like near nude volleyball.
Right.
Like, let's oil each other up to aggressively volleyball. Like that's good and funny.
Yeah.
All the other parts of this though, it's a real weird, I remember, I lived through Top Gun Mania. Like I was a kid during, like I had a bunch of friends and stuff in school who were way into Top Gun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Saw Top Gun. And I remember like the same way that like people used to think like Navy SEALs were cool. Like, ooh, oh Navy yeah. SEALs. Top Gun. You know, yeah. Fighter pilots.
Yeah.
You know, and like this game captures that weird bit to it, but I am really surprised it didn't die. Like, I'm very surprised there's more Top Gun coming. Mm-hmm. I'm very like, I understand that nothing can ever die.
Right.
But it's just the it just seems comical to me.
Yes. It seems like it should only be the subject of derision. You know, I watch Top Gun, I think like maybe my brother likes Top Gun and like maybe we watched it together when I was in middle school or something like
that's
that.
Like that's like the name of like a student film documentary.
My brother likes Top Gun. Like
white font on a black screen.
No, but I probably watched Top Gun when I was like in middle school or something. The thing about Top Gun, at least as far as I can remember, is it's a really boring movie.
Oh, it's exceedingly boring.
Yeah.
Like, if you think planes are real cool,
yeah,
there are some planes in it, but not as many as you want.
Nope.
Not as many as you expect. And I'll say that for the video game, it's mostly about planes. But when I say mostly, though, it's like 51%, because 49% of it is weird FMV cutscenes, and then like kind of music videos about planes and written by planes. To bad covers of Highway to the Danger Zone.
Yes. One like, specifically very bad. Like, yeah, no, the cover of Highway to the Danger Zone that they use, it is it's a miracle for how bad how bad it is. And also like I want to I want a log of all of the emails and phone calls that happened with the studio with Spectrum Holobyte. And I kid you not, the studio that published this is Viacom Consumer Products.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
I really think about the song Highway to the Danger Zone a lot. So this is the last Spectrum Holobyte game.
Okay.
For one, which is interesting. I think about that song though quite a bit, and I think, how do you write something like that seriously? Like it's very much like a Tim Heidecker fake, you know, song. But how do you like? You're just like, yes, okay. You're on the highway, like that's cool. You're gonna get there. What kind of to where though? Like a some kind of dangerous place, like a dangerous zone. Yeah. And then you just write that out, and you're like, that's it. Got it done.
Yeah.
And I it's really amazing to me to think of them writing this.
Yeah, this is the like, oh yes, this will be the song that defines my career, our career. When people think of me, they will likely think of either this or Footloose.
Yeah. That's weird. You know, the danger zone. It does seem like, I mean, I'm not saying that the danger zone sounds safe or anything like that, based on what little I know about it.
Yeah.
And I think being on the highway to it does seem like it implies you'll get there.
Yes.
You know, which is probably not great.
No.
But then
no.
Also dogfight, like fighter jets on top of it.
I don't understand. I've never looked at the lyrics to Highway to the Danger Zone either. There's something about pushing it to the limit. There's probably, I don't know. Let me see here. What is this? Because I only know it from the chorus, because that's really all that's ever used. Heading into twilight, spreading out her wings tonight. She got you jumping off the track and shoving into overdrive. I'm sorry, what?
Why? How horny is this? Is way hornier than I thought it was.
Yeah. Revving up your engine, shit. Listen to her howl and roar, metal under tension, begging you to touch and go.
Huh.
You'll never Some say
hello. Fucking a robot.
You'll never say hello to you until you get it on the red line overload. You'll never know what you can do until you get it up as high as you can go. Holy shit.
Oh my god, I had no idea.
This is filthy. So filled with
euphemism.
Out along the edges, always where I burn to be. The further on the edge, the hotter the intensity.
That's about eating ass, right? Like that's like, so the danger zone is pussy. Like we can all agree that in the metaphor,
yes.
Like in the highway is like a thighway.
Yes.
Perhaps.
Hey Gary, would you believe me if I said that on the genius.com entry for Highway to the Danger Zone, that the about the danger zone has an image from the Seventh Seal?
I would believe you because it'd be a very specific lie.
Yeah.
But that is real weird.
This song challenges the cultural couch potato mentality pervasive at the time and to this day, that in the name of safety holds back countless millions of people from unlocking their potential and exploring who they are in this world. Logan suggests that not until one has grazed death's door can they know what it is to live.
My jaw is on the floor. Like how would you like ordinarily, like I am the last person in the world who encourages people online to like read sex and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I don't like that. Right. Like, oh, like obviously these two characters are fucking, like it just doesn't resonate with me. I understand it fulfills a need.
Yes.
But I'm in this situation. It's the obvious.
It is
thing.
It is so, it is so transparently about wanting to fuck and being on a trajectory toward fuck.
Yeah, to be on the highway to fuck.
Yes.
You know, that's pretty incredible.
Wait, so heading into twilight, spreading out her wings tonight. Tomcats have retractable wings so they can reach higher speeds. Spreading out her wings, it's her innocent. Fucking legs.
Yeah, this is very innocent. The people who decided to genius this.
She got you jumping off the deck and shoving into overdrive. Tomcats are usually kept on carriers. Gary, wait a minute. Okay, so for the bridge, you know, you'll never say hello to you, red line overload, etc. We've arrived in the danger zone to find out that, similar to the vision quest practiced by certain Native American cultures, it functions as a guide to spiritual enlightenment that involves mastering the most dangerous technology created by man. It's not until said technology has been pushed to its limits that the user has lived to tell about it, that one's true identity is forged. And along with this identity taking shape, the mind begins to grasp all the kick-ass shit it can do now. And there's an image of a knight on the back of a horse with Valhalla written above it. And then at the bottom, Return of the Mystic Warrior.
This was written by Dwight Schrute when he gets himself pumped for sales things. Like, it's written from that perspective.
Uh-huh.
Of like Dwight Schrute in the car fist pumping the ceiling.
Yep.
This is fucking wild, man.
Oh, huh. God.
Like, imagine being the person who sits down in the theater, watches Top Gun, hears this song, and is like, the movie's about planes. The song is about planes.
Yeah. Like, the further funny. On the edge, the hotter the intensity. This is likely referring to the idiom living on the edge, where adrenaline junkies received increased gratification from taking more intense risks. In context, it might also be a clever aircraft reference about the leading edge of the wing airfoil, which could get exceptionally hot at high speeds.
All right, cool. I got the question for you.
Okay.
Dorkier. Train people or plane people?
I mean,
before today, I would have said train 10 times out of 10.
Yes.
But this has really shaken my belief.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I think planes are infinitely cooler than trains. So therefore, they warrant a little bit more kind of investigation. Like when you get a train fascination, basically what that ends up looking like is, you know, about 2/3 of Atlas Shrugged. Which is just about trains, you know?
Yeah.
I associate train fixation with like, you know, basically British boffins, you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm like little kids.
Well, yes. Also little kids, of course. Yeah. Weirdly. But yeah, like at this point right now, if I were to take a local sample, plane fixation is definitely maximized. I've known plain people, like, you know, there were just people in high school who carried around books of like World War II planes of like the Luftwaffe and stuff. I didn't associate with them, but they were there and they were always ridiculed. And like, you probably shouldn't make fun of, you know, probably shouldn't like directly confront somebody because the thing they like is weird. But like, you know, no. And like, I don't know. You ever been around like a real cool plane?
Sure.
Yeah. Like one of the best things one of the coolest museums I've ever been to is the Flight Museum down in Dayton near Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. And like you go in, it's just like, you know, just a massive hangars full of these planes that you can, you know, like that you can read plaques about and look at all the gear and stuff. And like a lot of the planes are from World War II and they've got like the, you know, the painting done on them. So like this one has, you know, it's like sharks and this one has like sex jokes about people back home, you know, like, you know, drawn all over it and stuff. And like you can ride a little shuttle over and like walk through all of the decommissioned Air Force Ones, including the one that carried Kennedy's corpse back. From Dallas. Haunted? I can only presume it's haunted. It's got a bunch of creepy mannequins in it.
I can't go with you on this one.
No?
I apologize. No, I don't think that sounds cool.
Yeah, I thought it was cool. It was real fun.
No, I appreciate you and I respect that difference. Yeah. That you just tried to sell me on something on my ability to read plaques. And I just think like I would do it, like being in a big hangar full of vehicles.
Cool planes, yeah.
Well, I'm just saying that if it were a big hangar full of cool trains, like the train that Lincoln's ghost is on, you know, or Franz Ferdinand's ghost is on or something, I would be into that too. Or I've been to a maritime museum and they all top out at about a B- to me. It's like here's a cool boat with full of mannequins. Somebody died on it. There is a plaque.
Yeah.
But it's, they still seem pretty pedestrian to me.
Mm, yeah.
You know, so I don't know that I can follow you. That,
Gary, I got to sit in a space capsule. Okay. So
I've done that before too, but just like a science museum.
God damn it, Gary. You know? It was a great way to spend a day. I had a really fun time going around that museum.
Well, I'm not trying to take that day away from you. I'm just Gary, saying that
you're ruining it. You need to be as into this as me.
I cannot follow you on planes being cool.
Okay. All right.
They're okay. You know, they're big transportation objects.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they slip the surly bonds of gravity.
Uh-huh.
Got that for sure.
Yeah. Some have guns on them.
Some of them do have guns on. See, that I guess maybe this is my pinko-ness.
Yeah,
like it's just the war part of me, like might have gotten to me. Because trains I associate with
commerce.
Efficient. Or like efficient, like public transit.
Yes.
You know, like the people. Mm-hmm. And I associate planes with murdering brown people.
Yes. Yeah.
You know.
And that's the other problem.
That could be what we're picking up. Yeah.
Yeah, that could be it. You know, and that's also like a problem with Top Gun, which is it's just straight up military propaganda.
Like, oh, totally.
You know, to the point where
it makes Captain Marvel look like not Captain Marvel.
I didn't realize this. Know? They offered the lead role. They offered the role of Maverick to Matthew Modine. It basically in the same year that Full Metal Jacket came out. And he's like, fucking no, guys.
And then Tom Cruise is like, I'm tiny and I'll do it.
Like, I'll fit in any plane you put me in.
Here's the thing, is I'm very small and I basically have no money. I'll do any job.
Yep. I do all my own stunts, so you won't have to hire a second guy.
Yeah, I'm very economical. You pay me by the foot. And if you get Prince on the soundtrack, you're paying like 80% of what you would pay for a real movie. I like Kilmer, though. I like Val Kilmer.
Yeah, yeah.
As like an 80s action guy. Uh-huh. I don't think Tom Cruise is very good.
No.
I saw that most recent Mission Impossible, which is like a fun action movie because betrayal is constant and happening it constantly.
Mm-hmm.
But it was kind of exhausting, and I don't really like Tom Cruise in it. I don't think Tom Cruise is good.
Yeah.
Other than Magnolia, like what's the best Tom Cruise thing?
I've got no idea. It's hard to say. I don't know. I really don't. He was funny in what was that, Tropic Thunder or whatever?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Making fun of himself.
The only Tom Cruise movie that I haven't seen that I want to see is Edge of Tomorrow or Live, Die, Repeat or whatever it is. That seems fun.
I'd like to see that too.
Yeah, but
we could almost cover that for Adaptation Decay.
Yeah,
because that is basically like explicitly video gamey. Mm-hmm. Is my understanding. If we wanted to really stretch the definition and watch a movie,
yeah,
we could.
Mm-hmm.
This game is FMV scenes that are amusing,
mm-hmm.
And then. Really boring. Like it's even hard to call it a flight simulator. It's like these weird little arcade sequences.
Yeah, like arcade dog fighting. Seconds. Yeah,
yeah, over in seconds. Like it feels the cadence of this is really strange. It does not feel like a home video game. It felt to me like a weird arcade novelty machine.
Yeah, like an installation kind of thing.
Yes,
you know where everybody is like talking directly to you, like you're the character in the FMV. And I'm not sure if that is or isn't the case, because when people are like talking to Maverick, they are looking at you sometimes, but like the person that they would have been looking at, the camera does, you know, like a 180 and shows a person being there, but I never see somebody say, "Hi, I'm Maverick and I'm the best."
Yeah. Like, you get to see your like shitty little competitor do that.
Oh yeah.
You know, he's constantly just like, "Hey, thanks for the trophy, brother."
Yeah.
You know, and then the female pilot comes up and is like, "Get a grip." And then you switch over to the new, you know, the new briefing.
Yeah. But I love that, like, the only actor they could get back was, the guy who played Stinger. So he's like the boot camp guy who stands up at the front and says, you know, somebody asks, "How will we know who's the best?" And he just pulls out a big wooden plaque and says, "The person who gets the most points and gets this."
Yeah. Like, yeah. Cool. He's also in this game, he's called Hondo.
Hondo.
He's no longer called Stinger. They changed it. They couldn't get the rights to Stinger. Nope. So they had to sub out a Hondo. I was trying to think of why I have vaguely positive associations with Spectrum Holobyte. You know, this is their last game. And it's because they did the absolutely wild Star Trek The Next Generation games for Super Nintendo.
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever play them shits?
No, I didn't.
They're weird. They're so really they're complicated.
They're adventure games, right?
Kinda. Like, they're adventure sims. They're, like, directionless adventure sims that are some of the most obtuse video games I've ever played.
Huh.
Just really, really bizarre. And I rented them all the time because Star Trek.
Right.
You know, but they're just really, really bizarre. Like, you put together your own little team of away team, you go to the different stations and stuff. It makes me want to try them as an adult because maybe they're awesome.
Yeah, maybe.
And I, you know, maybe this is actually incredibly cool and I was just too much of an idiot kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, And the evil race in the first ones are called the Chodaks. It sounds so much like a slur that I cannot handle it.
It's very slurry.
Like, yeah, like the you know, the 7-Eleven used to be good until that Chodak started working there. Is what it sounds like. It's like uncle speak, and I don't like it.
No, it just it is like a way to get around like censorship of hateful speech. Yeah. Oh, Spectrum Holobyte also did the Falcon series of games. The games that have like the full like ship manual,
like the
box is nothing but a huge hardbound book.
Well, that's what this game was as well on PC. Yeah. And then the PlayStation version that we played is like the arcade-y spinoff. Mm-hmm. But the actual game is supposed to be a flight sim that has landing and taking off, which is like the NES version. That's the technical and very difficult part of that game.
Yeah.
You know, just spam mm-hmm. missiles and then try to land.
Yeah.
Which I think every Nintendo kid spent a lot of time doing and nobody enjoyed.
No.
Yeah.
Like, I've done it. I fired it up as an adult. And it's just a matter mm-hmm. of following the directions. But I wasn't very good at following directions when I was a kid.
I thought I was good at following directions, but I was somehow worse. You know?
Yeah. No. I was looking forward to playing like a fun little dogfighting game, but it never mm-hmm. worked out for me here.
You don't really dogfight. Like, you fight drones in this, and they put the drones right in front of you. It's much more like a rail shooter.
Yeah.
It's not exactly a rail shooter, but it's closer to that. Like, dogfighting to me has always been a tricky prospect mm-hmm. in video games because of the Z-axis.
Yeah.
You know, and just like not, like being able to position the enemy is very difficult mm-hmm. In dogfighting. And some games have done it reasonably well. Mm-hmm. But it's something that I think is harder to get than most people think.
Yeah.
And here they just decide not to try. Mm-hmm. Like you just go forward, and then you know the commander Hondo yells mm-hmm. at you that you're going to be doing dogfighting, but really you're just shooting at what's in front of you.
Yeah, and really you're not shooting at what's in front of you. Like you see like a pixel in the distance, mm-hmm. and your reticle turns red, and then you press the homing missile button, and then it fires, and you and something dies when it's off screen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I just I dig a dogfighting game. I like an X-Wing. I like a TIE Fighter, a Crimson Skies. Yeah. That Snoopy and the Red Baron game for Xbox Live Arcade is actually really good.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I would not have guessed that.
Yeah, it's good.
There's not a lot of game fact stuff on this. The only thing I like is a review. The title of the review is Top Gun My Feet, which sounds like a very horny like statement, but abstract.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know what that means.
No, but it's just a short.
Top Gun My Feet.
Yeah, Top Gun My Feet, please.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah. The other one is from FF Master Jose, which is a very good username. It says SOS. So he does not like it. But like one of these guys, like they specifically come at this from the perspective of being disappointed that the PlayStation version is not as technical as the PC one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Even though the PC version has no GameFAQs presence.
Right.
So it's not like it's a cult classic.
No.
And then the FAQ was written by a guy who is otherwise unremarkable, but in the thanks section, he thinks somebody named Leet Manga Master, which I think is a very funny and aged internet name.
God, Leet speak, man.
Yeah, Leet manga master.
Yeah, I think at one point for an English like class in like you know like let's say like late middle school, I think it did a paper about Leet speak.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like I never really like used it, but it's like this is an example of like a language or whatever that has popped up. I don't know. It was it was fine, and I probably don't have it still. But yeah, that was a weird thing.
I would have assumed you didn't have it, but you saying you probably don't have it makes me think you 100% do.
I have embarrassing papers from when I was young. I don't know that I have that though.
Why are you keeping that shit, man?
Because my mom kept it.
Yeah.
My mom kept it. And then when I got a house, she was like, okay, finally I can offload all this shit onto you. So I've got totes and totes of it.
Is there a reason you have not offloaded it into the recycling bin? Like old school papers?
No, not really.
Oh. Like I can understand saving some stuff, like if it's like an old report or a drawing or something, mm-hmm. but like actual papers is weird to me.
Yeah, I have been in the process of going through that, and I've found old drawings and things like that. But no, yeah. there is still a closet.
I could see there being some things that are worth keeping.
Mm-hmm.
That I had two things that made me think of. One, I never did Leet speak, but in fourth grade, For a little while, I got the, or not fourth grade, fifth grade, in Mrs. Ring's English class, I started signing my papers Dr. Death. Because I thought it was cool. I wasn't Kevorkian or anything. I just was like, this is cool. This is my, and then when I got, I had the idea to, my nom de plume. And then I had the idea to start, because I had an old computer that didn't have a word processing program on it. So I used to write documents in QBasic.
Okay.
Just writing print before every line and running the program. And I had this idea of making this like manifesto and having been this like cool zine thing, but I didn't actually know anything about computers. I was like, real people were doing this in that grade. But yeah, that was the beginning of that where I was like, Dr. Death. And the teacher just was like, you can't sign your actual name. It was like, really, it was actually a merciful response in retrospect.
Yes. Yeah. She nudged you off of, She nudged you away from being a Hypnospace Outlaw villain.
That totally could have been. Like, it was, you know, it was no good. And then the other thing I was thinking about with old papers is one time, there's a guy named Tom, who I feel like I've talked about before, but I used to be in a band with him, and he used to be part of that scene. And, like, he, like, generally, like, not a great friend. You know, like I'm gonna say something mean about him, but I just want people to understand that it's like, it's not just because I'm picking on somebody who's weak. It's because he's kind of a shitty person in a lot of ways. But one of the things he did once, we were all like riding around in his car and we were in the back seat. It was like in my mid-20s. And I moved one of his like school papers. He was in college at the time.
Okay.
And out of the way, and he's like, he's like, man, look at the grade I got on that. And he got an A on it.
Okay.
And he's like, you should read it. And it was just like a fucking like book report thing.
What?
And like, it was me, and it wasn't just me. It was a car full of people. Like, there were four people in the car, and he wanted us to read his book report because he was proud of the A that he got in his mid-20s. It's like, dude, like this. And I was like, I'm not going to read this. And he's like, no, you should read it. It's really good. Like, and I'm like, it doesn't really good doesn't play into this. Like, it's not, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Like, even the best like book report does not rate it.
Yeah. It does not. Yeah. It doesn't matter. It's still the format of this disqualifies it, my friends.
Yes, yeah.
And also, you know, think twice before telling people to read your schoolwork.
Yeah.
You're like all your adult friends to read your college homework.
Yeah.
Like, that's weird, man.
It's not the best or right thing to do, I think.
Yeah. That was the guy who, I found like, it was like one of the more like examples of humorlessness to me. That I found of having no sense of humor about themselves. And I'm more moderate on this whole thing than I was at the time, you know, cause it, like, if you haven't changed in like 10 years, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
But in my late 20s, there's a picture, we found in a magazine of Christina Ricci.
Okay.
That looked like him. And it just did.
Okay.
Like, it just did.
I'm not laughing because it is strange that a woman would look like a man, but just that I can picture the way this person would react to it.
Yeah.
That
is why the specificity of it was very funny.
Yes.
And then like, I took it and I drew in, Tom's like little beard, and it looked like just like him. And I was like showing people, because I was like, look, this looks like our buddy Tom. And this was kind of before I was, you know, against Tom. You know, I was like, still pro Tom. This was affectionate, is my point. Like, I just thought it was funny because I was like,
you were not bullying this funny? Man. Yeah.
Yeah. Who would not think this was funny?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and it turns out Tom
would not, Tom would not think it's funny. And the thing that he did about it, I used to have TV nights over at my house. Like, I'd have people over and we watched like The Office and Tim and Eric and Deadwood like once a week.
Mm-hmm.
We went through all these shows. And he was talking about that picture and he kept going, great, the picture's gone viral. Like, you don't understand, it's gone viral. And it was a folded up magazine clipping in my pocket.
It's so like, what do you mean?
It was never a digital image. There's no viral. And I was like, what are you talking about? And then he was like, you know, Gary, there are things I could say about you, but I won't. And that, I was just like, ooh, that's not. And I was like, fucking say it, man.
Yeah.
Like, what does that mean? Who are you? What, you know, what is this shit? It was really obnoxious.
That's gone viral.
Yeah, he's like, you know, you didn't think so, but it went viral. And like, I didn't give it to anybody.
No,
like, nobody took a picture of it. I showed it to somebody somebody brought it up to him. Someone said like, hey, have you seen that picture of Christina Ricci that looks like you? Isn't that funny? And he was like, ugh! You know, it just destroyed his sense of self-esteem.
Yeah,
and it's so weird because it wasn't like, this is in our mid to late 20s. It wasn't like That's being made to look like a girl was a Vorpal flaw. Like, we weren't 14.
Yeah.
You know, we were firmly, everyone is firmly in the, like, who gives a shit? And you shouldn't freak out about being made to look like a girl because girls are awesome.
Yeah.
You know, as a thing. Like, we weren't eighth graders.
Right.
You know, at this point. So.
Yeah, that's
fucking wild.
That's weird. That is a very strange reaction.
Yeah. He's also the guy who did a thing that I really don't like, where it's like, if you ever tried to talk to him about, like, an actual problem that you had, like, the few times I tried to, like, open up to him about something, he did the all-in-one move acknowledge pivot to his problem thing faster than I've ever seen anyone do it. Like, just like, hey, let's talk, man. Hey, I've got this, you know, and then just immediately, like, change the subject to, like, whatever is bothering you about school or something. And I was like, how did you get to this age and not get over that?
Yeah.
Like, it's really shitty, man.
No, that's...
You know, it doesn't make people feel good.
Yeah.
You know?
That is really transparently bad.
Yeah. Ugh. No, it's not great.
Yeah.
So,
this is a real monster you associated with.
He's not a monster. Like, he's not a monster. He's just, like... I don't like him, you know, it's like, and it took me a long time to realize that, like, and it's okay. Like, it's not, he's doing great, you know, on his own. And I don't wish him any harm. And, like, there are good qualities of him as well. Like, it's not all bad, but, like, it's one of those things you realize there's, like, a thing in self-actualization where you give yourself permission to not like somebody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know, that is, like, you know, you start off as a kid and you're like, I have to like everybody because I want everyone to like me. And if somebody is a jerk, I am the problem. And then you realize, like, no, sometimes you just don't like somebody and that's okay.
Yeah.
And as I've gotten older, it's, like, been more like, it can be for real, you know, it can be for monsterism reasons. You know, like, I am going to judge, you know, George W. Bush.
Yeah.
You know, or Donald Trump. It can be for kind of just, like, bad friend reasons, but it can also, somebody can just annoy you. And you can not like them, and it's okay. You don't have to like everybody, you know. And that was a hard lesson for me.
Yeah, it's not your responsibility, you know.
Yeah, it's not a morally correct action to just like everyone.
You know, to treat somebody with respect until they have shown they don't deserve it. But yeah,
and then you know you can still treat them with respect, or you can, if you're able to, put yourself in a situation to not treat them at all.
Yeah, just get away.
You know? You know, which I think, is, you know, the ability as an adult to have a lot of control over your coterie.
Yeah.
You know, like we talked about this a bunch, but like people talk a lot about like the bubble and stuff. And it's like, why would I not want to hang out with people who share my values and like things like that? Like, I like the bubble.
Yeah.
The bubble is a feature, not a bug.
Yeah.
You know, like it can become a problem if you don't realize there are people outside of it. But just being like, I have to keep this person around who has morally repugnant opinions, because it is just inherently good to keep them around. I don't buy.
Yeah.
Like, as a thing, knowing about those opinions is good, but just being like, yeah, this person like doesn't think trans people are people. I should just hang out with them because it's good to value the diversity of opinion.
No.
Like, actually it's not. Don't reward that person by hanging out with them.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's actually really bad.
Yeah. You know, you have social leverage over somebody. Like, you can decide, no, that's just that is a thing that makes it so that that I don't associate with you anymore.
It's a leverage thing, and it's your valuable time on Earth. Who do you want to spend it with?
And also,
and I would just be super clear, like, before we, like, Tom wasn't like that.
No.
Like, he was not problematic shitty.
No. He was just, you know, just unpleasant. Obnoxious. Sounds like,
a little obnoxious.
Yeah.
So anyway, continue. I didn't mean to cut you off. I just wanted to make sure that, like, nobody half remembered this and was like, yeah, man, you're a problematic friend.
You staying around.
Yeah. With this, you know, real problematic bachelor. And, like,
And it's also like, it's not your responsibility. And also, like, the second part of, we can't get rid of him because, you know, like, maybe we can fix him. And it's like, no, that's not your responsibility. Yeah. If this person, if this person's an adult, like, they're not a fucking project. So,
Yeah. It's weird.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. You don't have time for everybody.
Nope.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have too much more to say about Top Gun.
No.
Or like, weird bad friends.
Very, very thin. The only other thing I like about Top Gun is in the Tim and Eric $1 billion movie where Will Ferrell makes him watch it twice. He's like, you guys want to watch Top Gun? And the business meeting, they're like, sure. And he like puts it on. And the end, they're talking about how good it was. He's like, do you want to watch it again? And then, he's like, Top Gun from the top. And they just watch it. This is yeah. very funny.
I am about to the end of Awesome Show. Great job. I'm going to load up Billion Dollar Movie as a treat.
Billion Dollar Movie is great.
I love it.
It's really good. Beef House has been fucking killing it, dude.
Oh, Beef House is amazing. Thank you for covering up my mass murder, you guys.
It's really good.
Yeah.
I just decided to buy that. It's not streaming. And I was like, I feel good about giving these guys $10.
Yeah.
For this, because I want them to make more of this very much.
Yeah.
I love Boro. It's very funny.
I had night diarrhea.
Night diarrhea. Oh, I had to get some wet paper towels.
Yeah, Beef House is amazing.
Yeah, show me them Serbian titties. Ben-Hur is the secret weapon of that whole show. Like, that guy is, like, they have a degree, you know, Tim and Eric's weirdos, they have degrees of, like, how with it those guys are and, like, how in on the joke they are. And Ben-Hur is just incapable of delivering anything. A line not the weirdest fucking way that anyone has delivered a line. Yep. And then deciding to make him the horny porn dog who, like, goes and visits glory holes and stuff. And that is fucking inspired.
I have a coupon for a half off neuro massage.
I have a coupon for a half off neuro massage. Like, I am a premium member. I should get to see porn. It is very good.
And Tennessee being like a weird psychic mystic.
It's really good.
Yeah.
It's really, really good. Like, exceeded my expectations.
Mm-hmm. No, I was watching the prunes episode and I lost my voice. I went hoarse.
No, the prunes one is that's the one they showed at the end of the live.
Oh yeah. No, that show, like that necessarily. That
one. That's the highlight. Yeah. that's the highlight one. That's exceedingly good.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah. No, I'm down. Oh, I'm down with Beef House, man. I'm sad that next, so they're calling the next episode the one that's going to air on Sunday, the series finale. So I don't know if they're just playing coy.
I think they did that with Bedtime Stories as well.
Okay,
is they ended up doing more.
Yeah,
of that. So if they're having fun, like they'll
and
it gets a good response, they'll do more. I think.
And Adult Swim just lets them do whatever they want. So
which is great.
Yeah.
You know, Bedtime Story is one of the weirdest TV shows that's ever fucking existed.
I've never seen it. I've never watched it.
Oh, dude.
I know.
Like, I know. Sorry. I know that that's like the worst possible response. It is. I can say this with confidence. Mm-hmm. It is more a conglomeration of shit that you like than anything else they think they've done.
Okay.
Because it's not just funny. It's scary and weird in a way that is explicitly lynchy. Mm-hmm. And like, it's good. It's genuinely spooky and unnerving. And I think you would really love it.
Well, I mean, like the log line for it, that like, hey, here's Tim and Eric doing like a Twilight Zone kind of thing. Like, fuck yeah, sign me up for that. But I just like that aired during a time when I really wasn't like paying attention to them very much.
Yeah.
You know,
I haven't seen every Bedtime Stories because I've never gotten them on DVD.
Mm-hmm.
I've just done the ones that stream, and like Adult Swim unlocks random ones.
It's weird.
It feels like
Adult Swim's app is a fucking nightmare.
Yeah, it's not good. The app and the website, they're both bad.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's like, it's just like, it feels like a Tim and Eric sketch drawn out as much as it could be. But some of the things are genuinely like really fucking weird and scary.
Yeah.
In a way that I really love.
Mm-hmm.
It is about a TV series about the unpredictability of men. Mm-hmm. Like, imagine a Frank Booth can show up at any time, like in any situation at any time.
Yep. With no warning.
Like, yeah, that's what it feels like to me. Huge Frank Booth energy.
Nice.
And that being, you know, my favorite, you know, individual David Lynch trope is the like guy who's entirely too much and is absolutely fucking bone chillingly terrifying.
Yeah. You should watch Twin Peaks, The Return, because that has like four of them. It has like four Frank Booths in it.
I really want to. I just want to do the rewatch that comes up to it. And I have fallen off twice on season two.
There's a certain point at which you can skip forward to the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just need to do that. Like, I need to rewatch season one all the way and then get the good episodes of season two. But that's what keeps stopping me though. It's like, I love, I like season one a lot. I am interested in it. I just, season two lost me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there's a point like two episodes after they reveal who killed Laura Palmer that it turns into like a subplot about like James Hurley and his femme fatale after he leaves town. And it's just the fucking pits.
Yeah. It's weird. Mm-hmm. Like, it's weird that it like, cause I don't think there's a critically, you know, celebrated show that has quite that precipitous of a drop off other than like The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Where I'm just like, man, what am I doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm so bored.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No. So thank you, Paul. Thank you for recommending Top Gun to us and recommending mm-hmm. that we talk about Weird Bad Friends and mm-hmm. Tim and Eric shows and Twin Peaks.
And Top Gun.
Oh, yeah. And Top Gun.
And from the Highway to the Danger Zone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. From the top.
Yeah. We appreciate you. If you would like to sponsor an episode or just support your boys, go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv and give us some money. And you get bonus episodes of the show and a bunch of other stuff. You can also leave ratings and reviews on Apple Podcast.
Yeah. And I think you took it all, Gary.
I did.
You took it all.
I've been cruising through it. Well, because you have the sign off. Like, I was just setting you up for the sign off.
I do. Yeah.
You do have it up, right?
Yeah, I do. And until next time, the entire text of Atlas shrugged.
There you go.
Cool.
Atlas woke up. Brushed his teeth. It was a day like any other.
Oh man, it was the best of Atlases. It was the worst of Atlases.
This one doesn't even have Greenland in it.